pleasure and a privilege to be here tonight. And it's always a pleasure and a privilege to say that we have no greater schus. This week's Parshas Mishpotim, dealing primarily with a vast array of mitzvahs shebein odom lechaveroi. It is only last week in Parshas Yisrael that we learned about the most glorious revelation Klal Yisrael ever experienced, and that is Mamed Har Sinai, with Aseres HaDibros, and the Ramban explains why were those Aseres HaDibros, Ten Commandments, divided in two different luchos, Shnei Luchos HaBris, the two tablets, why not one? The Ramban explains the first five were dedicated primarily to mitzvot sheben adam lemakom, the many mitzvahs, the many precepts between man and the Almighty, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Onoi Hashem Elokecho, O Yelech Hu Elokim Acherim, etc. While the next five deal primarily with mitzvahs that define Ben Adam Lechaveroi, between man and his fellow man. And Rashi writes in Parshas Ekev, Luchos Chasor Ksiv without a vav, indicating that both Luchos were similar, not only similar but identical. Same size, same texture, same weight. And the message that conveys is that these two Luchos have the same significance and the same importance. Those mitzvahs that define the relationship between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the others defining the relationship between man and man, one cannot achieve perfection only with a combination of the two. So first we will be discussing a halachic concept, as I was asked by the Rav to do. Above and beyond the call of duty is what Chazal define as Lutzeis Yedei Shumayim, in other sugis, Lefanim Meshuras Adin. One of the basic yesaitis I teach my Talmidim, when we find different sugis, different formulations, we're dealing with different concepts. Chazal don't use different formulations for the same ideas. If we would have a lot of time tonight, I would probably delve into the sugya. It would take an hour and a half, defining 10 different levels of Litzeis Yedei Shamayim and Lefnim Meshuras Adin. We will try to do it briefly. In some sugyas, primarily Bava Kama Daf Nun Hei, Chazal deal with the concept of Groma Benezikin. When a person causes loss or damage to another person's possessions in an indirect fashion. Not directly, but indirectly. Various different examples. There are animals in a pen, and a person opens the door or breaks open the wall, and those animals are freed and they cause damage to a third party. There is no liability. However, Chayiv Bedinei Shomayim. Potter Medina Yodam, Chayiv Bedinei Shomayim. There are two other sugyas, Bava Kama Kuf Yud Ches and Bava Metzia Lamed Zayin, in which we find a slightly different variation. Chayev Bebolet Seis Yedei Shomayim. If he comes and he offers to be Yotze Yedei Shomayim. And those two sugyas deal with the concept of Bori Veshemo. A claimant argues, you owe me money, I gave you a loan. The other party, the defendant, says, maybe, but I honestly don't remember. You have testimony? Do you have evidence? He says, no, I have no evidence, but this is what I say. So there is argumentation in the Gemara whether he is liable or not, whether he has to pay or not. And the halacha is poto. However, in Bola Tzeshidei Shemayim, he has to pay. Bori v'shemo, lav bori odif. It is not enough that you say, you owe me money, and the other party says, I don't know. I honestly don't remember ever taking a loan. I cannot say definitively no, but I also cannot say yes. If there is no evidence, poto, aval chayev im boret zeh sidei shemayim. And to me, as I explored and wrote in great length, when Chazal say chayev b'dinei shemayim, that is a greater level of chiyev than b'boret zeh sidei shemayim. The formulation b'boret zeh sidei shemayim seems to indicate it is only if you want to go that extra mile and you volunteer, you're not willing to be in any doubt of another person's money, then we recommend that you pay. Chayev b'dinei shemayim indicates a higher level of heal. So how do we relate to concept number three when Chazal say, lefenim mishuras hadin? In my opinion, once again, analyzing the wording and the exact formulation of Chazal, when Chazal say lefnim mishuras hadin, I think they mean to say lefnim mishuras kol din, dinei shomayim as well. So lefnim mishuras hadin does not merely mean that you have to pay, or you should pay, or it would be nice if you pay, even though Beis Din will not intervene. Lefnim Meshuras Adin also means Lefnim Meshuras Din Shomayim. Because Chayev B'dinei Shomayim also mentions Dinei Shomayim. So Din Shomayim is also defined as Din. And therefore, lefnim mishuras hadin is a lesser chiyuv than chayiv bedinei shomayim. And Tosfos in Bava and Siach of Daled Amud Beis says that in the concept of chayiv lefnim mishuras hadin, there are also various different levels. The most extreme one is a story told in Bava Metzia Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Rabbi Baba Chona was one of the great Amiroim, and he rented some workers to transfer barrels of wine from one place to another. And those workers broke the wine. They broke the vessels, and they caused tremendous damage to Rabbi Baba Chona. First thing he did is he snatched some of their possessions and their suits and their clothes to have a lien and to have something in his hand to demand compensation. They went to Rav, who was the greatest sage of that generation, and they demanded that Rabbi Baba Chona give back their possessions, their clothes, their suits. And Rabbi Baba Chona said, yes, doesn't belong to you, belongs to them, give it back. Rabbi Baba Chona was taken aback and amazed, and he asked, Dina Hochi, is that the halacha? To which Rav says, of course that's the halacha. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Laman teilech bederech toivim. That's the right thing to do. So those workers obviously realize that they have a very sympathetic dayan in charge, and they had the chutzpah to say, well, we deserve pay. We work 3 days, and we demand pay for our work. But what do you work? You broke those vessels. And it is not only that you didn't do your job, you caused great damage to the Balabas. However, they demanded compensation for their work. And Rav said, yes, you need to pay them. And Rav Avachon is astounded, and he once again asks, Dina Hochi, is that the din? Is that the halacha? They caused me damage. They caused me loss. And I have to pay them for destroying my wine? To which Rav responds, yes. The safe of that very same posik in Mishle is, Laman terech v'derech toivim v'ochoy sadikim tishmor. So obviously the Gemara indicates that is lifnim mishura sadin, and that is taking it to an extreme. Because by basic halachic criteria, and if you cause damage to the possessions of another person, you are liable, whether you had bad intentions or not. So by basic and simple halachic criteria, it is not only that they don't deserve payment, they are the ones that are to pay and compensate Rabbi Babachana for the loss they incurred him, for the damage they caused him. But Rav turned it upside down, and he said, Lefnei Meshuras Sadin, this is the right thing to do. So this morning in Borough Park, a person approached him with a shaila. He asked his friend to take him to the airport and then run some errands for him. And his friend happily did so. That's what friends are for. And when he came back with the car, he parked the car, blocking a neighbor's driveway. That neighbor called some company and they towed away the car. And he couldn't get the car back only by paying $250. So he asked, is my friend that drive me liable? Does he have to pay those $250 or I do? To which I said, by basic halachic criteria, yes, I think he is the one to pay those $250. And that would be probably defined by halachic criteria as garmi. When we deal with indirect loss, indirect damage, which a person causes another person, there are two different levels. One is defined as grama benazikin, which is patur. The other is defined as dine degarmi, which is chayev. And there are five different approaches explaining the difference between the two. In Shalas Etshuvas Mincha Sosha, first chelek, I do not remember which siman, and I constantly apologize. I remember the Noida B'Yehuda and the Ktzos HaChoshen and the Kiva Ega far better than I remember the Mincha Sosha. And that is for a very simple reason, and I'm not trying to amuse. When I was a youngster, I learned Ktzos HaChoshen and Noida B'Yehuda and the Kiva Ega and Bavli and Yerushalmi, but the Mincha Sosha wasn't around at that time. And by the time I got to learn the Mincha Sosha, my memory was already fading. So what I say right now is primarily directed to the youngsters amongst us. Don't wait. Take advantage of every moment you've got. What I learned 40 years ago, I remember clearly. What I learned 3 months ago, that fades. So, in Mincha Sosha, first chelek, I don't remember which siman, I have a very lengthy discussion, and I wrote my opinion halacha lemaisa. And it is based on the Rambam and the Shach and some of the Balei HaTosfos. I think whenever we're dealing with bad intentions or even with negligence, that would be defined as garmi. So if you drive a car, you should know you don't block a driveway. And you should be aware if you do, you might have to pay for it. So by basic halachic criteria, the one that parked his car blocking a driveway is liable. However, I don't think it's the right thing. A favor and he spent the entire morning with you without asking for anything in return and having him pay the additional $250 to get your car back. So if I would be Rav in that story with Rabbi Babachona, I would say, in that case, they didn't do anyone a favor. They worked for their money. And nevertheless, Rav said, the right thing to do is pay them. In our case, I definitely think, well, just try to imagine that you're paying a person to take you to the airport and for running your errands. What happened, happened, but I don't think you should expect compensation from the person whose sole intention was to do you a favor, even though he should have been aware that this might cost money. Many years ago, two boys in my yeshiva approached me with a different shaila, but it boils down to the same. So they went to visit a certain gadol, and like young kids, they wanted to have pictures. So one asked his friend, take my camera in peace, make a picture. And he was speaking to that gadol, and his friend was in pressure because usually gedolim don't cooperate. I do. When kids stop me in the street, could they take a picture? Yeah. I tell them, tell me when you want me to smile and how you want me to stand, and I'll be happy to make kids happy. So, but when you're making a picture of a girl, you need to have split second timing. So his friend made that picture, and he dropped the camera, and the camera was broken. So once again, by clear halachic definition, he bears responsibility. That is the halachim bavakamad of chavav, odamud liyolim bein shoygik bein meizid bein oynes bein rotzo. In claims for damage, intention is not necessary. But once again, he doesn't work for you and you didn't pay him. You asked him for a favor, which he did. And he had no bad intentions, so I don't think the right thing would be to demand compensation. So this sugya is a very broad-based sugya, and maybe at another time, at another place, we could delve into this sugya more in depth. As I said, I think there are 10 different levels in the entire realm of Bifnim Meshuras Hadin, and Chiyuv Letzeis Yedei Shemayim, we merely mentioned some of them without going into either great breadth or great depth, as Sinai Va'oika Horim should be doing. The entire concept of Lefnei Meshuras Hadin, above and beyond the call of duty, is a reflection. Is a reflection of Midois Shebein Odom Lechaveiroi. As I mentioned, the Ramban in Parshas Yisroi speaks about the two luchois. The one which is dedicated to the basics, to the most fundamental Yisoides of Bein Odom Lamokoim, and the other to the fundamentals Shebein Odom Lechaveiroi. It is Rabbeinu Sadia Goen and all the other Rishonim in his footsteps that explain Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, are not merely 10 of the 613. They are not merely 10 of the Taryag Mitzvahs. They are the most basic and fundamental ideas upon which all the others rest. And each and every one of the Taryag Mitzvahs has its basis in one of the Aseres HaDibros. So tablet number one, Luach Aleph, contains the fundamentals Shebein Odom L'Mokoyim, while the other contains the basics Shebein Odom L'Chaveiroi. Rabbi Saul Salanter, the great Gaon of Musar, had an interesting comment in Parshas Ki Tiso. First time in Torah's Moshe when we learn about the tragedy of Egel HaZov, of the golden calf. And the unbelievable courage of Moshe Rabbeinu, who decided on his own to throw the luchos from his arms and break them. And it is only after Moshe decided on his own that Chazal teach us in Shabbos Pei Zayin, Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yodah. So the Pasuk says in Parshas Ki Tisa, V'yashlech miyodoi, Yodai Loshin Yochid, in the singular form. That is the Mesoira. However, the Mikro is V'yashlech miyodoi. Rabbi Sosa Salanter argued, Moshe Rabbeinu sees and hears, and he heard even before he saw this terrible tragedy. He hears people dancing and singing and rejoicing. Tupim v'macholos. And by the time he is close enough, he sees the golden calf. It is clear and obvious to Moshe Rabbeinu, I cannot give them the luach in which is engraved Unoichi Hashem Elokecho. Lo yielecho Elohim acherem al ponai. Lo yisas elechu pesel. They failed. They awfully failed. And Chazal used the harsh expression, Aluvo kalo shemezana tachas huposo. So they are not fitting to receive luach number one. But at least I may give them luach number two. Let them be decent people. Lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov. Lo ta'id b'reachu eid shoker, lo tachmed eishes reachu, why not? So Moshe thought, I might as well break luach number one, v'yashlech miyado, and keep number two and give it to them. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, the luchos are attached. It is either the entire package or none of it. I don't give one luach. Because the shleimus of a person is only in the combination of the two. And therefore the mikro is v'yashlech miyadav and not miyado. That is the shleimus of each and every individual. Avi Moiri Hareni Kapos Mishkovoi passed away a month and a half ago. And almost by every shir and every shmuz that I've given in these weeks since his p'tira, I find myself once and again speaking about his personality and about the many things I learned from him in both realms. Ben Odom Lamokim and Ben Odom Lachaveiroi. His fiery passion for Torah and his unbelievable tuv lev in Ben Odom Lachaveiroi. So I had the schus of being a Talmud of the Kloisenberg Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and my father the same. And let me tell you the story how they first met. How, when, and where. My father and his entire family arrived at Birkenau, Thursday Shavuos, Tavshin Daled. And that very same day, my Zayda and Bubba, his father and mother, with five little children, were sent left directly to the gas chambers. My father and his two younger brothers were sent right to the living. Kloisenberg Rebbe arrived at Birkenau one day later, second day Shavuos Tavshin Daled. My father heard a great deal about him, about his greatness, but he never saw him before. My father was 18 years old and the Rebbe was 39 or 40. And he happened to be one barracks next to where my father was staying. And my father very much wanted to go over and be with him. You probably understand that Birkenau, Auschwitz, wasn't like the Hilton or the Sheraton. You don't go to the reception and say, I want another room. Didn't work that way. So in the middle of the night, he sneaked over to the other building. And he looked for a person named Sander Hollander. He found him and he told him, "Your son is with me in the other building, the other barracks. You probably would be happy to be together with your son, and I am willing to swap with you. You'll go over there and I'll stay here." The other day in the morning, my father approached the great Kloisenberger Rebbe, and he expressed his gratitude and his happiness that he has the opportunity to be close to him. And the Rebbe frowned upon him, and he responded by saying, "Look at the crowd. I don't think many of you understand Yiddish. Some of you know Yiddish." So the Rebbe said, "The mindset that is helfen, said the goon is helfen. If you think it's going to do you any good, then let me make this clear. It's not going to do you any good." To which my father responded, "Avada vetes mehelfen, chalhub medven tzereden and learning. Of course it's going to do me good. I'll have with whom to talk and learning." And the Rebbe was taken aback, astounded, and he said, "Bucher, young lad, young boy, you're in Auschwitz, and you want to talk and learning?" Which my father said, "Oh yes, if we won't talk and learning, how will we prevail? How will we possibly make it? What will keep us going?" "Yeah, I think we should talk and learning." To which the Rebbe responded, "What do you have in your mind?" And he started discussing a sugi in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Ches, the sugi of Mitzvah Sichos Kavona. In Mod Geret and Lernen. In Mod Geret and Lernen. And they talked and learned. And they were 13 months together, from Auschwitz to Warsaw, from Warsaw to Dachau, from Dachau to Mildor, from there to Tutzin, and till they were liberated 13 months later. And for 50 years to come, they were together. Two great people, a Rebbe and his disciple, both with a fiery passion for learning, or Torah. And as they were liberated by the American troops, one of the Rebbe's first concerns was caring for the dead. There were Jewish corpses strewn about in the entire area. And that is a meis mitzvah, one of the greatest mitzvahs, is kavod ha-meis. Even the Kohen Gadol exposes himself to tumas ha-meis to care and to bury a meis mitzvah. And the Kloisenberger Rebbe asked for volunteers, and no one stepped forward. You must understand, in Auschwitz, seeing a corpse was like seeing a rock. People no longer had any sensitivity after a year or two or three or four in hell. People were also afraid, because typhus was rampant and many of those bodies were decomposed, and my father was the only one to volunteer. And then the Rebbe promised him, he didn't promise, but he gave him a brocha that his children would be Marbitzei Torah. And I am one of seven brothers, and Baruch Hashem, all are Rabbonim and Marbitzei Torah. So they not only cared for the dead, but for the living and for the future of Klal Yisrael. Organizing kosher kitchens, building mikvahs, establishing yeshivas and schools for the boys, for the girls. And that went on for 2 years. And after 2 years, still in Germany, my father approached the Rebbe and he said, "I am tired and I think I did my share. And I want to sit and learn. Been years since I learned." To which the Kloisenberger Rebbe angrily responded by saying, "You know nothing about Mesiras Nefesh. If you think depriving oneself from food and sleep is Mesiras Nefesh, no, that's Mesiras Aguf. Mesiras Nefesh is putting aside your Gemara for Klal Yisrael. That is what Mesiras Nefesh is about. Needless to say, so my father kept on his work together with the Klal Yisrael. He was a genius, a great Ilui, and all his life was Ahavas Torah. And the memories I carry with myself from those days, going back 50 years, or some more than 50 years since I was a little boy, and the going was rough for the immigrants, for the Shaylas Aplate in America. They had no one to lean on to. No shver, no shviga, no father, no mother, no support groups. In a strange land, not even knowing the language. And it was very, very rough and very difficult. I barely saw my father throughout the week, but Shabbos Kodesh, Meboyo V'Yatzeisoy, all he spoke with us was in learning. And we had to impress him with Pshetlach and Toiris. And that generation, my father didn't like what I said. He made it clear to me that he didn't like it. We treat our children differently. Times have changed. But in those times, if he didn't like the Torah, quite obvious. So a week later, we had to do better. So those days made a tremendous impression on me and my brothers. And in Bein Odom L'Chaveroi, I learned so much from him. Besides the chesed that he did, Matan B'Seisa, always far from the spotlights, never making anything of himself. He never was a guest in our honor in any dinner, and no buildings, no forum dedicated in his name. But he was also so genuinely loving and caring and a true Ish Chesed. And it came so natural to him. So all my friends and all my Talmidim and all my Chassidim know that Erev Shabbos is my day of Kibudav. And for many years, Friday morning I spent with my father. And I hope to have the same chus to spend many more Fridays with my mother. Shekodesh Baruch Hu Yarech Yomea Vishnaseo Betoivu Bene'imim. And my father always used to offer to take me home in his car. Couldn't say no, but he wasn't very happy about it. And I told my father I have many drivers. They're waiting in line. But he insisted he's going to take me home. And why didn't I like it? From my father's home to my house is a 10-minute drive. With my father, never took less than an hour. Because he had a habit of getting hitchhikers into his car and taking each and every one of them to the house where he lives. So, I was always in a rush. But can I tell my father he should not do so? He was a very busy person, busy with his learning and busy with his business. But these things came so natural to him. I have a man in my car. Well, I'll drop him off in the middle of the street. I'll take him home. So picking up people on the road and taking each and every one of them to his final destination, to his home, seemed so strange to me, seemed so natural to him. So maybe some of you are familiar with the Minchas Yitzchok development in Yerushalayim, which my father built with a partner. And once a younger man came to my father and he told him he would very much like to buy a house in Minchas Yitzchok, which is one of the more expensive areas in Yerushalayim, but he doesn't have the money. So what would you naturally tell a person who wants to buy a house in Minchas Yitzchak and he doesn't have the money? Well, probably we would say, then obviously you don't need to buy a house in this project. Maybe you could afford a house in Kiryat Gat, or in Sfat, or in Be'er Sheva. If you don't have the money, then why do you need to have a house in Minchas Yitzchak? But my father was different. And he told them, listen, I have an idea. Usually brokers, not all of them, very few of them, but some brokers take 2.5% of the deal. So if you bring me 40 people that will buy apartments and I'll give you 2.5% for each and every one of them, then you have a house. My father's partner heard of this insane offer. He was fuming and he said, I have no problem selling apartments in Minchas Yitzchak. I don't need any broker. If I would have 5 times as many houses to sell, I would sell them all. So, what are you, out of your mind? Giving an apartment for free for someone that will bring you 40 buyers? I have 40 buyers without paying a cent. My father said, I gave him my word and I won't backtrack. This is what it is. I never heard about this story till the person came in the shiva and told me this unbelievable story. And what he added on is, when my father suggested this ridiculous idea, he said, but I never sold anything. How would I find people and get them interested in buying a house? My father said, I think you've got it within you. Try. Give it a try. So the person says, not only did I get a house, I also got a parnosa. And I'm a broker. He says, I'm a mitavech and I have parnosa. So that's a real chesed. So these were people, giants, in Torah, in mitzvahs, in chesed. And we had so much to learn from them in both realms of Bein Odom Lamokoyim and Bein Odom Lechaveiro. For it is only with a combination of the two that we could achieve perfection. And knowing that the basis and the most important mitzvah of them all is Talmud Torah Keneged Kulo. As my father told the Klozer Maggid Rebbe, there in Birkenau, if we won't talk in learning, how will we prevail? And it is only with the Gemara that we prevailed for 2,000 years, and we made it up to here. Am HaSeipo. That is how others defined us, the people of the book. Klal Yisrael and Torah. And every day in Birchas Kriya Shema we say, Ki heim chayenu v'oirech yomein. So you probably all remember the story told in Brochas Daf Samach Beis, Rebbe Kiva, the great Tana, Makel Kehilo Yisbaravim v'sha'as HaGzeirah. So there was a decree by the Romans, the Talmud Torah is prohibited, and it's a grave crime. And Rebbe Akiva is makel kehilas barabim, not in the underground, but b'farhesia. And Papos ben Yehuda finds Rebbe Akiva, and he asks him, "I atu misyaro mepnei amalchus, aren't you afraid?" To which Rebbe Akiva responds, of course I'm afraid. How can one not be afraid? However, em shelachu mosho lama hadover doi. Leshoal shehoyo maharach al gavano avaro adogim shemeskaptim amokoyim lamokoyim. Omalohem mipnei ma'atem boruch. The fox is strolling on the riverbank and he sees the fish seem to be frightened and agitated, swimming around nervously, and the fox turns to the fish. Why are you afraid? And the fish say, don't you see the nets? The fishermen are here and they're after us. So the fox tells the fish, so why don't you come up here? There are no fishermen out here. There are no nets out here. Why don't you come up here? To which the fish respond by saying, are you the fox? Is it you that they say about you that you're the cleverest of animals? You're a fool. You're not smart at all. If we are afraid in water, and our sustenance is from water, if we will leave the water, we are doomed. Rabbi Akiva responds to Pappos, and he says, of course I'm afraid. I'm afraid even when we are learning Torah, if we will stop learning, we are doomed. If we stop learning, nothing will give us life. Did it ever occur to you, and I'm confident that many of you know this mashal, it's one of the most famous parables. So the fox tells the fish, When did that happen? When did the forefathers of the fox and the forefathers of the fish live together on land? Even Charles Darwin wouldn't make such an argument. Maybe in water, not on land. So what is it that the fox tells the fish, why don't you come up here and let's live together like our forefathers lived together? When was that? I would be a fish in that river. I would say, Atohu shoimer malechu pikeach shabachayesato, lo pikeach atayle tipeshata vata lo rak tipesh legam shakra. You're not only a fool, you're a liar as well. So what is it that the fact says? The lie? Obviously. And obviously the fact knows it's a lie. But if you lie once and again, and again, and again, ultimately, some people will believe you. And this is an argument which we hear in 1,000 different languages and many different variations and many different times. Why do you have to be different? Why do you have to be different? Why do you have to be separate? Why not come out here and let's live together like our forefathers lived together? You can't eat with us. You don't drink our wine. You don't eat our meat. You need your shuls and your bote medesh and your yeshivas. Why are you always different? And we say, because we are different. You are land animals. So you stay out there. We were born in the sea. We were born b'yam ha-talmud. And when we first opened our eyes, the first experience we had was seeing Moshe Rabbeinu v'shnei luchos habris. That is what our life is all about. So please, please, we don't need your aitzes. You stay up there and let us just where we are and how we are. This is our life. This is our sustenance. And this is what kept us going for 2,000 years in Galus. And this is the way. We should be zeichet to be a samashim. So it is with Ahavas Torah, understanding the centrality and importance of Talmud Torah in our communities, as individuals, as communities, as a people, as a nation, and the combination of Ben Odom Lamokim and Ben Odom Lachaveroi. That is the only way to achieve shleimus, to achieve perfection. It was a pleasure to be with you tonight, and I wish you all from the depth of my heart. You should have nachas and simcha. I heard a great deal about this keila, and I'm happy that I'm here tonight. You should all have nachas from your children. You should all have atzlocha in all your endeavors, in ruchnis and in gashmis. And to my dear friend, Rav Kelamer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you arichus yomem v'shonim b'toivu b'nei'im b'b'bri'es toivu l'hagdol. Tayra Velahadira. We should all be zoche b'kura b'yomeinu to be as Moshiach tzedkeinu and to binyan beis amigdosh b'mehero v'yomeinu. Amen.
Rav Weiss told us that he would be willing to take a few questions, whether on the topic of the Shia or any other questions that concern you.
How do we know what the great Bar Elohim or Anobi Asimalok Kacha or Shema Yisrael? What was the proof that he had?
I think Rabbi Akiva, as any great sage, said many things without proof. When Rabbi Akiva said something, if he would have proof, probably he would give us and share it with us. It was from his unbelievable depth of understanding. But to me it is clear that when Rabbi Akiva says, we have to ask Kumarchus Akal Godel Betoira, his intention is in the realm of Beinodem Lachaveiroi. Onoich Hashem Elokechu probably is the basic in Beinodem Lamokim. So I'm always short of time, but maybe at some other opportunity I will have the ability to explain. V'yahavtu l'reachu kumoicho is not only the most important moral axiom in Beinodem Lachaveiroi, also in Lamdes and in Halacha. It is the basic idea which dictates and defines all the other mitzvahs shebeinodem lachaveiroi, as we could prove from a sugya and Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Dalet. So to me it is clear that Rabbi Akiva means to say, v'yahavtu l'reachu kumoicho is the basis of the entire beinodem lachaveiroi system. It does not affect beinodem lamokim. Yes?
Talmud Torah
is not in the Aseret HaDibros. I wasn't in the committee that planned Aseret HaDibros. Maybe I would suggest putting it in. Maybe number 11. I don't know. But I don't see this as a contradiction. V'yahavtu l'reachu kumoicho is so central because how will you know about all the others without learning Torah? And this solves a dilemma. On one hand, Chazal teaches us Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. It is the most important mitzvah. On the other hand, it is the only mitzvah that is pushed aside by any other mitzvah. There's a very basic concept in Halacha, Oisik b'mitzvah potah min ha-mitzvah. When you are engaged in one mitzvah, you never stop one mitzvah and go over to another. So dafka, the most important of all the mitzvahs, is the only one that you stop to perform any other mitzvah. That is clear in Moed Koten Daf Tes and Shabbos Daf Yudalef and Megillah Daf Dalet, three different sugyas and shas. When you're in the middle of learning, you need to stop your learning to perform any other mitzvah, whether it's the Oraisa or the Rabbanon. So how is it that the most important of all mitzvahs is the only one that any other mitzvah overrides? The answer is a very simple one. Why is Talmud Torah so important and so central? Because without Talmud Torah, we will never really understand and appreciate and know how to perform all the other mitzvahs. And therefore, Talmud Torah cannot come before mitzvahs. When the reason Talmud Torah is so central, it is only because Talmud Torah is the way to understand and know how to perform all the other mitzvahs. And what I just explained is the Yerushalmi and Brochas Daf Ches.
Yes?
Anything else? Yes?
How did your father was able to put aside everything and have that faith to reach out to people after
he
went
through the Holocaust? I don't know. I'm amazed, but first of all, I think he was an outstanding individual. And I also think that people that went through such a terrible tragedy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them special koiches. The Kloizim Rebbe, my Rebbe, lost a wife and 11 children in the Holocaust, and all his brothers and sisters, he was left alone. And I once heard from him, and I remember I was shocked by hearing those words. He said, never for a moment did I have any doubts or any anger with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Never for a moment. So I'm really amazed at the koyach of emunah and betochen that those people possessed. I spoke with my father many times about that. So I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them supernatural koyches at a very unique and tragic time. So what we see today here and throughout the world is a miracle. I think 70 years ago, those broken individuals walking out of those death camps, walking out of hell, would never believe the renaissance of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael and throughout the world. So it is a miracle, but it is in the merit of those individuals.
They mentioned before that you asked the postic for Shari Tzedek and for other medical issues that come up. Where do you get the specific knowledge, the scientific knowledge, to answer these questions? And what is your opinion about learning these things in order to be able to address them?
Did you ever hear about the Maggid of the Beis Yosef? The Beis Yosef had a Maggid that came to him in the middle of the night and taught him Kabbalah. I have a Maggid that comes to me in the middle of the night and teaches me many things I need to know. Well, if you need to know, you find the means to know. So I read. I always was curious. Because I'm recorded, I can't say more than that. I don't want this to come back and haunt me at some other time. It's okay.